Maybe he's putting up a bounty so low in order to buy time to negotiate himself. Or he doesn't care, and this is his way of showing everyone he tried, the Geegan woman said, making quotation marks in a rather human fashion.
I hate not being able to read, Jeb thought to himself.
So, what's the job? Jeb asked.
Bree gave him a strange look. This, she pointed at the paper. This is the job. What do you not get?
What if I told you I can't read? Jeb asked.
Oh, you poor thing. All the humans we've dealt with over the last 4 months have been able to read, so we just assumed.
The Keegan woman clicked her tongue and snatched the bounty out of Bree's hand. The Miles woman grunted and went back to her desk as the newcomer began to read.
On the 8th of Grant, Seren Grenor was kidnapped by the outlaws Vec Pedersen and company. The reward for the safe return of Seren will be no less than 5 Imperial gold marks.
And that's low?
Zvek Pedersen is a sand pirate captain, works with a crew of at least a dozen men. Like so many other animals, his territory got broken up by the stitching, and he's moving into new territory. Causes friction. The man's at least level 30, and his crew isn't far behind. You'd need 6 hunters with a level of, 40 or higher to safely claim that bounty. And no level 40 would do a job as delicate and unpredictable as a rescue mission for less than a bulb.
I get it, Jeb murmured, rubbing his chin.
Seren Grenor. Is she related to Garland Grenor?
That's his daughter, Bree said from her desk.
The man owns 6 the town,
her Keegan co-worker said, slapping the bounty.
He can afford to pay more than 5 bulbs for his own daughter.
Jeb eyed the bounty for a while, pondering. The guy was a dick, but his daughter had done right by him.
More than right, even. Maybe she hadn't been able to stand up to her father in the moment, but it was damned kind of her to give Jeb that coin and open Zlesk to the idea that Jeb might be innocent. I wonder if I'd still be sitting in the cell if she hadn't showed up.
Can I take that bounty? Jeb asked.
You want to die?
Most days, no.
Bree sighed and leaned on the desk, giving him a morose look.
We can't stop you from trying, but keep in mind that there's a very real chance you get the girl hurt, too, if you rush in there all willy-nilly. That's on top of the fact that you're more likely to get yourself killed than anything else.
Not to mention, if the sand pirates don't kill you, but she gets hurt, you'll probably disappear. It's just not worth your time. It's not worth anybody's time,
the Keegan woman said, waving her hand dismissively.
I've got a good feeling about this one, Jeb said, snatching one of the bounties before he marched out the door, chest puffed out.
What? Oh, there he goes.
Jeb clomped out onto the street, his mind whirling as he tried to concoct a cohesive plan. He needed more information. Oh, crap. Jeb turned on his heel and went back into the office. Do you happen to have the individual bounties on Svek Pedersen and his crew? Jeb asked, smiling sheepishly. Bree rolled her eyes and started separating out no less than 8 bounties and handing the small stack to Jeb.
Those are Svek's crew with their own bounties.
Thank you, ma'am.
Now I just need to find someone to translate these who isn't liable to sell me out. Zlesk comes to mind. If Jeb asked a local to translate for him, he'd be more likely to wind up shot in the head a day's journey from town. So, despite being a less than ideal choice, Zlesk was at least proven to have law and order in mind. Even if he is an ass. Maybe I can catch Zlesk in his office, Jeb said, glancing at the waning sun. It had taken all day to forge the recommendation, after all. If he got back to the jail when Zlesk was wrapping up his day, he'd be pushing papers at his desk. Smartass.
Yep.
The fairy asked from where she was gnawing on a pixie stick. It was a small part of this month's pound of sugar. Can you spy on Garland Grenor for me?
Why?
I want you to get some intel. I want to know why he's 9,000 bulbs in debt, and hopefully you can find something sentimental to him. Something that could get me missed?
Besides his money?
Jeb chuckled. Pretty much.
I charge my standing spying rate,
Smartass said.
Which is?
Standard rate. Just agree to it.
Nope.
How about 5% of whatever I get from Garland? The fairy gave him an intense glare.
That could be nothing.
It could be a lot if you get me good intel, Jeb said.
5% of whatever payment you receive from Garling Brunor in exchange for the rescue of his daughter and whatever bounties you claim in the process. This includes whatever you claim in penalty should he renege.
I can do that?
Did I not mention that?
Smartass asked. Does it give me impact? Jeb asked. I can just take something if they refuse to pay?
Of course. If you can take something.
Is that why fairies are always trying to take people's firstborn? Jeb asked. So when they naturally renege, you can take whatever you want and get impact that way?
You're a quick study.
Jeb began sorting out his plan. 1. Get info on pirate/Garland. 2. Offer grandiose verbal agreement Garland is sure to renege on. 3. Fulfill Jeb's side of the bargain. 4. Get double-crossed. 5. Triple-cross in return. Just the broad stroke so far, Jeb thought, twisting the thick ring on his finger. I wish I knew what the hell this thing did. He was going to need every advantage he could get. All right. I will pay you 5% of whatever payment I receive from Garland Grenor in exchange for the rescue of his daughter, and 5% of whatever bounties I claim in the process, including whatever I might claim in penalty, in exchange for your assistance in the completion of the task, up to and including spying on our soon-to-be client. Smartass squinted at him. You know, you'd be tacitly obligated to help with a percentage anyway. This is just more explicit.
And binding. Add a clause that frees me of the arrangement should Garland Grenor refuse to agree to any deal whatsoever.
Done. Jeb recited the entire bargain, and the two of them shook on it before the palm-sized fairy zipped off into the sky, presumably heading for the home of one of the richest men in the city. I really hope the guy doesn't have fairy roach motels, Jeb thought idly as he headed to the jail. Jeb managed to catch Zlesk just before the harried sheriff left his desk, slapping the papers down in front of him with a grin. Can you translate these?
No,
Zlesk said, putting on his overcoat before grabbing Jeb's arm, hauling him bodily toward the exit. Jeb desperately tried not to fall over, hopping and clacking across the room as he was half-dragged to the door.
You can't claim a bounty when you're blacklisted from the Hunters Association, so let it be, Zlesk said, shoving him out the door before locking the station up.
But I'm not blacklisted, Jeb said.
Huh?
Bree seemed to be pretty impressed with the recommendation I gave her.
The recommendation? Zlesk asked. Not my recommendation?
Jeb grinned nice and wide. The skull-faced sheriff's eyes narrowed. Now, will you translate these for me, or am I going to have to ask around town? You know I'll be killed if word of that gets back to the wrong people.
Zlesk snatched the bounties out of Jeb's hands and scanned them, brows furrowed angrily.
These people will kill you, he said, shaking the papers in Jeb's face.
Then translate it for me so I can see for myself. If there's no way I can beat them, I'll back off. I'm not completely suicidal. Come on, it'll only take about 5 minutes. I'll buy you a beer.
Jeb pulled out his second-to-last silver coin and wiggled his eyebrows. At the bar.
Zvek Pedersen. Estimated level, 31 to 35. Class, jury rigger. Ability, keep it together. Estimated body, 21 to 34. Estimated mist, 1 to 3. Estimated nerve, 8 to 15. Wanted, dead or alive, for piracy, kidnapping, theft, arson, murder, resisting arrest, sedition, contraband, treason. Reward, 12 gold marks. Zvek has proven difficult to capture and is known for his improvised fighting style. Reportedly capitalizing on his powerful body, he reinforces household objects with his ability to use as weapons and armor, bullying through opposition to inflict lethal damage. Last seen in the oil deserts, his location has become unclear since the stitching. His crew includes...
Jeb thought to himself as he scanned through the description of each of the bounties, written in his own hand as Lesk translated. Of course they would put level and stat information up for bounties. It also made sense that they would need to estimate, since an outlaw would be unlikely to give them precise numbers. It just felt weird reading about someone's class and level in an official document. It gave him a strange sense of dissonance. like all the weird stuff had somehow blended in seamlessly with the normal.
So, you see how dangerous they are, right? Zlesk asked over his second brew.
I do, Jeb said, flipping through the sheets. The lowest level guy was level 15, with enough body to tear Jeb limb from limb. Thankfully, none of them had very much skill with mist, or any supernatural abilities that would be an instant loss. He felt a plan slowly percolate in his mind.
So, you're going to stop this ridiculous course of action?
The sheriff asked, glancing at him askance.
I'm not above locking you in jail until you cool off.
Jeb glanced up at the snazzily dressed lawman looming over him.
God damn, Keegan Ertal.
For what? Being dumb? For whatever the abyss I want. You're not a citizen. But if you must know, if I feel like you're about to do something that might get someone else hurt, I'm well within my rights to lock you up. In this case, I think you're about to get a nice young lady killed. Because you're being dumb.
Jeb didn't bother to answer, checking for any possible surprises in the pirate crew's abilities. He lingered on one in particular, the Milas with the bone jewelry who'd run into him the day before, known as Bony Pete. Not a creative bunch, Jeb thought to himself. He'd seen the guy in town the night before. He might be able to lead Jeb to their hideout. Maybe he was on a supply run? The chances of him still being in town the next day are slim. Jeb checked the man's abilities. It seemed like his class ability could shrink things. Definitely a supply runner. I think those bones in his hair were actually femurs, Jeb thought to himself.
Are you listening to me? Zlesk demanded.
A little, Jeb said.
Jeb! Jeb!
A tiny voice echoed off the walls of the little bar as Smartass came flying over to their isolated booth in the corner, a piece of paper bigger than she was fluttering in her hands.
Check this out,
she said, slapping the fluttering paper down on the table, posing triumphantly.
Fished it from his safe when he opened it. We got good dirt on that prick now. You use this right, and we'll be swimming in mist.
Smartass cackled evilly, rubbing her hands together with glee.
Do you know I can't read that? Jeb asked.
Wait a second. You can read that?
Why wouldn't I be able to?
Smartass asked, hopping up on his shoulder.
God damn it.
Jeb sighed, folding the paper up before Zlesk could get a chance to read it. Zlesk would likely not take kindly to blackmail.
Where did that letter come from?
Zlesk asked before frowning, his eyes focusing slightly on Jeb's shoulder.
And what's that? You've got something on your shoulder.
Fairy, Jeb said, estimating Zlesk's miss to be somewhere between 5 and 8. Higher than Jeb's, most likely. The only reason Jeb could see and hear the bug was because of the litany of deals they'd made with each other.
Gah!
Zlesk backed away, leaping to his feet like he'd just seen a poisonous snake. He backed out of the booth, pointing a shaking finger at Jeb.
Get rid of it! They're evil little creatures whose only joy is the suffering of others.
That's not completely accurate, Jeb said.
Don't be fooled by its honeyed words. They're the bane of civilization. Send it back to the death wilds where it belongs.
Wow, that's quite a response, Jeb muttered, studying the sheriff's animated gesticulations.
Where is it now?
He asked, brandishing his club.
I'll squish it.
It's not there anymore, Jeb said. Smartass had climbed into his collar to hide.
Truly?
Truly.
Let me know if you see another one,
Zlesk said, glancing around shiftily.
They're considered anathema by the Pantheon.
Yeah, I noticed the gods don't react well to them, Jeb said, thinking as he studied his enemy.
Sup?
A deep voice growled from above and to the left, pulling him out of his thoughts. Jeb glanced up, meeting the gaze of Bony Pete. He glanced back down to the table, where the picture of Bony Pete was sitting on top of the pile, an ugly face grinning back at him from the wanted poster. This could be a problem. Chapter 4. Survival Skills.
He's the sheriff, Jeb blurted, pointing to Zlesk.
Bony Pete glanced over at the skinny Keegan while reaching for the bones in his hair. Jeb took the opportunity to slip under the table. Whoosh! A monstrous femur, longer than Jeb was tall, swept through the back of his seat, treating the heavy wood like styrofoam. Shrapnel clouded across the surface of the table above him, some of it sprinkling under the lip and peppering his clothes with sharp splinters of wood.
Could have been my head, Jeb thought, shoving himself out from under the table and rolling in the direction of the lawman.
Zlesk would stop the neck swing. If not because he wanted to save Jeb's life, then just because the neck swing was now going to be directed towards him.
Stop! Zlesk shouted as Jeb crawled past him. Jeb got a good look at Zlesk wrestling Bony Pete above him for control of the club before he was back up on his foot and clomping towards the door. At this point, a stray punch or a careless shove might break Jeb's spine. So SOP was to get the fuck out of Dodge while he still had his head attached to his body. He was about as well equipped to handle this guy right now as a Tonka truck was equipped to haul freight.
Later!
Jeb shouted over his shoulder as he headed for the door. That was when he spotted Bony Pete mounted over the Keegan. The orange-skinned criminal's broad muscles were bulging as he forced a skewer of sharpened bone closer and closer to the skull face's eye. Keegan weren't known for their physical strength, and when two people had similar body, the one with more actual muscle would come out stronger. Jeb watched the sheriff's skeletal arms descend a fraction of an inch closer to his face, trembling all the while. Everyone else in the room was either gawking or had already run off.
God damn it,
Jeb growled, desperately wishing for his gun, which he'd left in storage outside the city. A man's skull might be stronger than a .44 slug nowadays, but his brain would certainly feel it. No such luck. Jeb's gaze caught the empty space behind the bar where the tender had the presence of mind to fuck off before things went down. Usually, a bartender in a place like this keeps a weapon under the bar in case things turn sour. Jeb leapt over the bar and ducked down, looking for anything he could whack with or throw. The sleazy place didn't disappoint. There was a solid iron rod about 3 feet long and sized a bit too big for Jeb's fingers, resting in a holster that kept it secured to the bottom of the bar. Jeb dragged it free, grunting at the weight as he leapt back over the wooden bar, doing his best impersonation of an Olympic athlete as he cleared the hurdle. Unlike an Olympic athlete, Jeb's wooden peg leg slipped from the sudden torque upon landing, sending him toppling to the ground, beat stick flailing out ahead of him. The edge of the iron rod still managed to skim Bony Pete's ear, partially tearing it off.
Motherfucker!
Bony Pete shouted, clapping his hand to his ear and glaring at Jeb. Jeb scrambled to his feet an instant before a sharpened bone hidden in Bony Pete's clothing violently expanded outward in his direction, rebounding off Jeb's beater and missing his liver by a couple inches. Jeb scrambled backwards, and before Bony Pete could try again, a pale fist caught him in the jaw, scrambling his eggs for a moment as the skinny sheriff slipped out from beneath him, grabbing the outlaw's arm on the way and twisting it out of its socket. Zlesk grabbed Bony Pete's wrist and slammed it down on the floor, his hands pulsing briefly with mist as he did so. Jeb watched, intrigued, as the sheriff rolled away from a retaliatory strike with another hidden bone splinter. Bony Pete tried to stand, but his wrist wouldn't come away from the floor. His inhuman strength made the wooden slats under their feet buck for an instant before the pain of the dislocated arm caught up with him, sending him howling back to his knees.
Club!
Zlesk said, holding out his hand. Jeb obliged, tossing the steel rod to the sheriff, who gave the outlaw one good blow to the head, deftly avoiding the man's shiny black horns. Bony Pete's eyes rolled back into his head, and a moment later he exploded with dozens of sharpened bones, jutting in every direction like a demon porcupine as his shrinking ability lapsed. Jeb was far enough away, but Zlesk caught a couple of the spikes, soaking up the damage with his arms as he backed off. This seems as good a time as any to get the fuck out of here, Jeb thought, hopping toward the exit as Zlesk caught his breath, staring at the unconscious outlaw while clutching his bleeding arm, obviously riding that post-battle high. Jeb scooped up his prosthetic on the way out the door. Jeb didn't really have time to do the paperwork that would no doubt follow the brawl,
and he was pretty sure Zlesk wasn't going to give him the bounty anyway. No, what he needed to do was move faster than word of Bony Pete's arrest. Rather than try and pry information out of the guy, it would be easier and faster to simply follow the messenger, whoever they kept on retainer in town, to bring them word of important shit. Any organized group of outlaws had someone like that who was paid to feed them news, allowing them to dodge large manhunts and get out of town if an enforcer was dispatched. The supply mule getting pinched was exactly the sort of thing they'd pay to know about. It wasn't like the aliens were the only ones who invented working outside the law. But we mastered it, Jeb thought, chuckling to himself as he hopped down the street on one foot, slipping his peg leg back on in a remarkable display of agility before he went back to clomping on both feet. He needed to get to his stash and get on the road east ASAP, which meant he had no time to play cops and robbers. Jeb broke out into an awkward run. Zlesk, Sheriff of Kalfath.
Whew!
Zlesk let out a long, slow breath, fingers shaking as the last dregs of his reserves left his system. Almost dying was not a pleasant experience. He kept pressure on his arm to slow the bleeding. There wasn't much, but Keegan didn't have a lot of blood to begin with.
This was not how I wanted my night to go. Now I've got to process this fool.
On the other hand, apprehending a dangerous criminal would be a boon for his career, so there was a silver lining to the night.
Jeb, I'm going to need to take you down to the station and get your witness statement. Jeb?
Zlesk glanced up and realized the one-legged beggar was nowhere to be found. He'd fucked off as soon as Bony Pete had slumped to the ground.
Gods damn it.
Zlesk glanced back at the riot of sharpened bones in the corner of the bar, some of them sticking through the floor, ceiling, and tables.
He was going to have to clean all this up, too. At least the Ferivore bones in Bony Pete's collection were worth nearly a bulb apiece. That would help with cleaning up the mess.
Already, scavengers were trying to make off with the smaller ones, regardless of the sheriff standing right there.
You there!
Zlesk said, turning to a younger man who'd watched the whole fight go down. He fished a silver coin from his pocket and tossed it to him.
Fetch Klisk and Bond from the station, would you? I'm not dealing with this shit by myself.
Jebediah Trapper. Jeb was outside the city, panting from exertion as he kept up a light jog with one leg for at least half an hour. Climbing a hill one-legged was not as easy as it sounded. Finally, he found the specific scraggly piece of brush on the side of the hill. He knelt down beside it and tore it away to reveal the top of the cooler he'd buried his contraband in. Whistling, Jeb grabbed the dirty, hairy revolver he'd found in the glove box of an abandoned car and strapped it on his hip, with the belt that came with it. Jeb had buried all his gear in an oversized cooler, except for a few things to pawn when he'd first entered Kalfath. He hadn't wanted to wind up on the wrong side of the law or get mugged in the first 5 minutes. A few of the item descriptions he'd gotten from the system had convinced him that getting caught carrying the wrong thing could lead to summary execution. Case in point, Jeb thought, grabbing his self-powered fireball wand and tucking it inside his jacket, away from prying eyes. The aliens would come down on him a lot harder for that than a handgun. Next, he grabbed the beautiful Revenge. The old-timey four-walled glass lantern was filled with half a dozen black butterflies, their wings accented with fluorescent blue and purple. Each one of those babies could carve a hole in something about the size of a golf ball. They weren't very fast, but they didn't have a limit to the number that could be summoned, and they were able to be controlled until they delivered their payload of annihilation mist. The best part was that the lantern had been designed to be used by weak mist users. Like me. Jeb thought with a scowl, tying the lantern to his right hip. He grabbed a handful of bullets for the gun and put them in his pocket, along with several of his emergency Snickers looted from a vending machine and some bottled water. Sweat beading on his brow, Jeb turned toward the east, where the messenger was no doubt leaving the city to inform Svek and his crew of kidnappers. Jeb was half a mile west of the city. If he wanted to catch up with word of Bony Pete's fate, he had to run.
God damn it, Jeb said, wiping the sweat from his brow and taking a swig of water before he resumed jogging again. This time weighed down by about 10 extra pounds of gear.
Smartass, I need a distraction, Jeb gasped as he ran, tugging out the blackmail letter. What's it say?
Smartass cleared her throat and sat on Jeb's shoulder to read, to his irritation.
Grinar, I do not care about your mewling protestations. The situation favors us. The Stitch has dropped a veritable fortress in the form of the split mountains between you and your beloved mines. A fortress I own. I know how far you've overreached with your new mine. I heard it straight from your foreman's mouth before I broke his jaw. I have you by the balls, and you can do nothing to change it short of paying us our due. If you want your shiny new mine back, you will give us no less than 2,000 bulbs in imperial marks. However, I'm nothing if not understanding and generous. If you can convince me to accept collateral of equal value, we will allow your workers to return to the mines, such that you can gather the money needed to appease us.
Jeb blinked.
Read that last paragraph again,
he asked as he ran. Smartass did so without complaint.
Collateral of equal value. Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Jeb asked.
His daughter,
Smartass said with a shrug.
His...
Jeb glanced at the fairy resting on his shoulder.
I forgot how you got your name.
We fairies have a knack for this sort of thing,
Smartass said, posing.
Okay, so I think you've given me the kernel of what I need to enact part 5 of the plan. Thanks a bunch.
It wasn't hard,
she said with a shrug before her face brightened.
So, how are you going to use the letter to take his impact?
Jeb glanced at Smartass.
I feel like if I tell you, you'll do it yourself and take the whole share. I don't recall a clause where you have to share with me if you take payment.
That wasn't the only reason I asked,
Smartass said, avoiding his gaze.
Huh, give me the letter back.
Smartass reluctantly handed it over.
Now, we just have to do the part where we kill a dozen superhuman sand pirates and rescue Miss Grinor.
Simple,
Smartass said.
Yeah, but not easy,
Jeb muttered, directing the next batch of butterflies to fly above him, keeping pace with them as they gradually disappeared into the sky, too small to be seen against the curtain of night. They were passing the city in the dark of night, angling for the eastern road, when Jeb had an epiphany that caused him to slow his stride for a moment.
Smartass, I just realized something.
Yeah?
We didn't actually make a deal with Garland Grinor yet.
Oh, that could be a problem. You should go do that. Like, right now.
Jeb looked back at the city, glittering in the dark, a few miles distant now.
Nope. It's too late to go back. I'll miss the messenger, and this will get way harder. I'll work something out when we get back.
Jeb, 5% of nothing is nothing.
Relax, Jeb said. I'll figure something out. Rescuing that girl is more important to me anyway. This deal sucks.
Mark Jacobs.
Svek is going to want to hear about this,
Mark thought as he power walked through the dark of night. He could already feel the heavy weight of the gold coin in his hand, taste the beer it would buy.
Among other things,
Mark thought, mind wandering to the friendly ladies on the edge of town. He'd been tapped to provide information to the pirates a couple months ago, and to be honest, they scared the hell out of him. But he'd made the trek up to the mountains 3 times now, and twice they'd paid him damn good money for it. The third time, they'd said the information was useless to them. It had rankled, but Mark wasn't going to argue with men who could casually tear his head off. The fact that Bony Pete had been caught was way juicier than any news he'd ever brought before. He was definitely getting paid this time. Mark chuckled to himself, but stopped when he heard a strange noise from behind him. Clomp, shh, clomp, shh, clomp.
What the?
Mark glanced behind him, his hair rising on his neck, heart jumping into overdrive. Monsters were real now, and Mark was level 12. He didn't even have a class. He'd taken the easy tutorial, wholly uninterested in risking his own life.
And yet here I am, walking through monster and outlaw-infested wilderness. What the hell am I doing out here?
Mark's typically strong sense of self-preservation returned in force, no longer blinded by gold. Behind him, he made out the faint outline of a man limping towards him. The silhouette was human, but something was wrong. One of the feet was a slender pole.
"Who are you?"
Mark asked, turning to face the silhouette and fingering his sword, widening his eyes to try and make out the figure better.
"Should have put more points into nerve," he thought, peering into the dark.
The figure was about 20 feet back and approaching slowly at a sedate, limping pace.
"Hi there."
The voice belonged to a man, and it sounded a bit on the older side.
"Do you have a moment to talk about running information for pirates?"
"He knows. Run!"
Mark didn't bother drawing his blade. If the guy knew what he was doing out here, this wasn't a random meeting. And that meant there was no way he would win in a straight fight. He turned and ran, putting every ounce of his 15 body to work, taking off like a bat out of hell. Professional athletes from before the stitching would have drooled with envy.
"Let's see a one-legged man keep up with this!"
Pain erupted in Mark's legs as something took a bite from him in the darkness.
"Hey!"
He would have been embarrassed about the shrill scream if he hadn't been busy tumbling into the dirt road. Once he slid to a stop, he reached down to his thighs and found chunks of flesh just gone from his legs, overwhelming his ability to think from the sheer pain blasting through his body as dirt and grit got into the open wounds.
"Oh God! Oh God!"
Mark didn't think of himself as a Christian, but prayers to God just kinda tumbled out of his mouth as he pressed down on the golf ball-sized holes in his leg, instinctively trying to stop the bleeding.
"Evening,"
the one-legged man said, grabbing Mark's shirt and flipping him onto his back before straddling his chest. Mark froze when he heard the click of a hammer being cocked back. He heard it real good because the barrel was pressed against his skull, and the sound echoed through bone.
"Now, you might be thinking to yourself," the man said, "my body is high enough for my skull to stop bullets, isn't it? Why should I give a shit? Have you ever heard of a compression wave?"
"No."
"Here's a good example. The bubble that forms on the other side of something that stops a bullet. Say your skull stops this 44. Some of that kinetic force will penetrate, and that makes a compression wave, a little bubble on the other side of your skull. That bubble expands outward at high speed, liquefying brain cells, breaking membranes, popping blood vessels, that sort of thing."
"Oh God!"
Mark whimpered, his life flashing in front of his eyes.
"I should have went to the heart tutorial with Sarah."
"Now, it might kill you, it might put you in a coma, or it might just lobotomize you and make you a simpleton. I don't know for sure. I'm not a doctor. What I do know is that it will end life as you know it.
So, you gotta ask yourself one question. Is my soft, squishy brain strong enough to shrug off a compression wave from a point-blank 44? Well, is it, punk?"
"No, it's not. Please, don't shoot me,"
Mark sobbed.
"Okay, back to my original question. Do you have some time to talk about pirates?"
"Yes."
"Good.
The gun nudged his forehead, making him flinch. "What's your name?"
"Mark."
"Mark, I want you to tell me everything you know about Svek Pedersen's crew."
Mark did so, telling the whole story between sobs. He gave the brown-haired man everything, from the time he'd been hauled into a side alley by one of the bruisers up until now. He gave him the password, the location of the meeting point, everything he could think of. Mark didn't even think to lie to the guy, he was so terrified. The man digested all of this with a contemplative scowl.
And you've seen how many of them in person?"
"I only ever met two. They put a bag over my head and bring me to Svek. It's in some kind of tent made of leather or something. It smells like cheese sometimes and—"
"That's plenty,"
the man said, raising his other hand. He leaned close and Mark could smell the beer on the man's breath.
"Mark, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you to do something. And it's going to sound like a fetish thing,
but it's really not.
What?
Mark asked, swallowing hard as the man began rummaging around in Mark's pockets. I want you to say some very specific things for me before I get off. Jeb Trapper.
That stuff about compression waves was all true?
Smartass demanded. All true.
Wow.
Jeb directed the next three butterflies to emerge from the lantern to join the growing swarm high above them. They were so high and numerous that they looked like a wisp of cloud floating through the night sky. That suited Jeb just fine. Jeb was at the meeting point, sitting next to the signal fire, just waiting to get himself kidnapped. He'd hidden his lantern and wand. I hope the kid doesn't get gangrene and die. I tried to avoid the knees and femoral artery, but those butterflies aren't exactly precise. Jeb hadn't been expecting the informant to be human, but it made sense. The authorities wouldn't think a human was working with alien pirates at first glance. Add that to the fact that humans were fairly expendable, and probably would be for another decade or two, until they managed to scrape together some political clout.
I've never heard of a creature with the system dying from any illness other than age,
Smartass said. Yeah, high body would mean the end of disease, wouldn't it? Jeb kicked his foot off the side of the rock as he thought. I wonder if the doctoring profession is crippled from the vast majority of people being totally immune to disease. Add to that people who can heal injuries with magic, and you're looking at the end of physicians in general. Then Jeb imagined what would happen if a modern doctor got a mist core. It'd probably be something easily underestimated, like a sulk core that he can use to change the ionic bonds of atoms in the enemy's body and give them an untraceable heart attack, or dissolve them, or something, I don't know. There were bound to be a few of them out there. Jeb's musings were cut short by the crunch of dirt underfoot. He stood up on the boulder and scanned the darkness. Despite the rather large signal fire, Jeb was unable to pierce the darkness with his regular human eyes. Whoever might be out there was invisible to him. Jeb, on the other hand, was lit up like a Christmas tree, standing so close to the pyre.
Enoch-Juman!
Jeb shouted the password into the wilderness. Silence reigned for a good minute, and Jeb was starting to think he'd simply heard some wildlife rummaging around when the crunch of dirt sounded again, much closer this time. Two rather large Milos men morphed out of the darkness, like the firelight had scoured away some dark shroud wrapped around them.
Evening,
Jeb said, hand near his gun in case these weren't the fellows he was looking for.
Mark told me,
Jeb's well-crafted excuse was cut short when the two thugs lunged forward, moving in between Jeb's thoughts like a pair of jumping spiders, practically teleporting to either side of him. One shoved a gag in Jeb's mouth, the other wrenched his arms behind his back. A moment later, a hood snuffed out Jeb's sight, and he felt the men going through his pockets. Jeb had buried anything a messenger wasn't supposed to have a little ways away, including the wand, the lantern, and the letter from Svek. Those were no-nos that would probably get him summarily executed. They fished out Jeb's last silver coin, a bit of his change from the bar, and took his revolver, peg leg, and shoe. Oh, come on. Why the shoes, man? Jeb tried to protest through the gag, but it came out as a surly groan. Jeb tensed up when the inquisitive finger seized on his ring. Oh, shit. I forgot about that. God damn it. Plan, meet first contact. A moment later, they pried it off his finger before muttering to each other in hushed tones. Jeb could picture them using their fancy-schmancy system to identify his magical ring, and wonder why an informant was wearing bling that could likely be traded for a mansion.
Enough. Svek will decide what to do with him.
A rumbling voice cut the other off, and Jeb felt himself being slung over someone's shoulder before they began moving across the mountainside at roller coaster speeds, making his stomach distinctly uneasy. They must have been going somewhere around 40 miles an hour, judging by the feel in his gut when they made a turn. And generally, the movement was more upward than downward. 10 minutes later, Jeb heard other voices, and they set him down on some kind of rug made of coarse fur. 10 minutes at 40 miles an hour, somewhere between 5 and 7 miles away from the meeting point, generally uphill. That described a fairly large swath of mountainside. Oh, God, the walk back is going to be murder on my feet.
foot if I don't get my shoe back. Maybe the girl can carry me. Without warning, Jeb's hood and gag were ripped from his face, nearly taking his lips with them. He was kneeling with his hands tied behind his back in some kind of yurt made of animal hide. Dim firelight peeked through the seams of the door flap, and Jeb could hear raucous laughter coming from beyond. More concerning, however, was the Milas man sitting on a hide-covered throne, contemplatively turning Jeb's ring over in his hand. He was a foot taller than any Milas he'd seen so far, and those people were big. The titanic Milas's horns were huge and shiny, curving up and around in a way that made Jeb think of Tim Curry in Legend. Slightly oranger, but still. He dominated the yurt, making the large leather construction appear small and confined. There was nowhere in the room Jeb could go that the pirate captain couldn't reach by leaning a bit.
Jebediah Trapper, I presume,
he rumbled, glancing up from the ring. Oh, goddammit. It's got my name on it. That son of a bitch god is gonna get me killed. Chapter 5 Finishing the Job. Jeb opened his mouth to speak.
Before you say anything,
Zvek said, motioning to his rather large gold earring,
I have ways of knowing if you're telling the truth. If you lie to me, I will kill you and toss your body down the mountainside. Understood?
Jeb tried and failed to choke down a giggle.
What's funny?
I never had any intention of lying to you from the start, Jeb said, chuckling.
Interesting. What are you doing here?
Mark asked me to deliver a message for him. Said it'd pay well, Jeb said. This statement was completely true, although Mark had said those words at gunpoint. Mark had said a lot of things at gunpoint to make Jeb's infiltration easier.
And your name?
It's Jebediah Trapper.
Do you know what this is?
Zvek asked, showing Jeb the ring. Can't say I do.
That's odd, considering it has your name on it.
Zvek's eyes unfocused for an instant as he looked at the ring with the swirling mist.
Bestowed upon Jebediah Trapper by Nixus as a reward for outstanding performance during the impossible tutorial.
The Milas said, eyes darting as he read something in front of his eyes.
I knew the humans had completed the impossible tutorial, but I never expected to meet one. I certainly never expected one to be as weak as you. Shouldn't you be hunting reapers for the Emperor or sipping cluck cha on a beach somewhere? By all accounts, the people who made it out of the impossible tutorial are forces to be reckoned with. How did you wind up powerless on my doorstep?
Zvek grinned, looming over Jeb. Well, there was a whole thing where some of the gods thought I had cheated, but they didn't have provisions in place, so they just voted to take away my access to the system as punishment.
Cheated?
Zvek interrupted.
How?
By being underhanded. I exploited a weakness in the treasure reward system to go back in time and finish the tutorial within the unfair time limit, creating a paradox that the gods had to clean up. They didn't seem pleased about that.
You met them personally?
Well, I wouldn't say met. More like I sat there while they talked over my head.
What happened next?
After that, I didn't have access to the system, so I slummed around in Kalfath for a couple of months, trying to live like a civvy until my PTSD started acting up. Then Mark told me I could make a couple silver if I ran a message for him. Jeb left some parts out, but none of it was a lie.
A couple silver?
Zvek asked with a chortle, slapping his knee in amusement.
Do you know how much this is worth?
He asked, holding the ring out. I do not, Jeb grumbled, but I imagine it's probably worth a lot more than that.
This is an appraiser. By itself, it's probably worth 500 bulbs. To a collector, it's likely worth far more than that, since it's a unique relic that has literally been touched by a deity.
Appraiser? Jeb asked. Zvek inhaled deeply and pursed his lips, bringing the ring to his face. He blew hard into the center of the ring, causing a billowing cloud of gray mist to shoot out, roiling across Jeb's body.
Wherever it landed, his flesh glowed and pulsed from the inside, and for an instant, Jeb felt like he was looking at himself through x-rays. A moment later, the roiling gray mist recoiled away from him, leaving his body and condensing into a simple screen with writing on it. Jeb could read it easily, even though it was backwards, the text facing the bearer of the ring. Jebediah Trapper, Mystic Trapsmith, level 39, accolades, Crusher's Brawn, Siren's Cunning, Rub-Rub-Rub-Use Mysteries, Gresh's Subtlety, Innovator, Thagros's Power, Body, 21, 5, Mist, 71, 5, Nerve, 26, 8, Abilities, Mystic Trigger, Accolade Pending, Lekros's Power suspended due to multiple instances, awaiting resolution by admin. Attention, this user has been flagged for exclusion from the system by executive order. I wonder how I managed to retain 5 mist, Jeb thought, noting the one difference between now and his starting attributes. Maybe he'd had that impact stick to him, like Smartass had mentioned, or maybe he'd exercised it like a muscle. He needed to figure out how to get more. Zvek broke into a laugh.
You weren't shitting me,
he exclaimed, brows raised in amusement.
You really don't have the system.
The pirate leaned forward and studied the numbers closely, his pitch-black fingernail tapping the top of his knee.
Attributes like that, you could have killed everyone in my camp. God damn, that's a respectable spread even before you had the mist. 71? You must have seen some wild shit.
I talked to a mountain once upon a time, Jeb said, glancing at the ring. You're not going to give that back, are you?
Jebediah, I'll do you one better,
Zvek said, tucking the ring in his pocket, confirming Jeb's suspicions.
How would you like a job?
Is this a job where I have a choice? Jeb asked.
Of course you have a choice,
Zvek said with a grin.
Death is always a choice. Most people don't choose it, but hey.
The giant shrugged.
If you want to spend the night getting disemboweled, who am I to stop you?
What kind of job? Jeb asked.
What's your impression of Mark?
He's young and a little dumb, Jeb said with a shrug. Not deal breakers.
He's an idiot. He gave someone else the password when I specifically told him not to. I can't abide that. He'll be gone by the end of the week. You, though. You, I can use. I need someone in town who can do more than just pass messages. Indeed, someone with experience, who can think on their feet. Someone with survival skills. Someone willing to get their hands dirty to survive. You strike me as a survivor.
A survivor who couldn't possibly hurt you? Jeb asked.
Exactly,
Zvek said, putting a hand on Jeb's shoulder and reaching over him to untie the rope around his wrists. Tying Jeb up was about as meaningless as tying up a puppy. I wish I had my mist traps, Jeb thought with a scowl. He would have had a lot more options if he could just point a finger and kill people, or cut the ropes off with a few well-timed winks. Unfortunately, they'd all been torn apart in the great screwening. Still, seeing his own stats again was heartening. It wasn't gone, just blocked. And there was some proof that he'd had ways of improving it, too. Matter of fact, when Jeb started without the training wheels, he could barely move grains of sugar with his mind. Now, he was up to about 0.5 pound, which was huge, considering Jeb was au naturel telekinetic. Seeing my stats again? Jeb frowned, having a sudden epiphany. The ring had been given to him specifically so he could see his status. There might even be more to it than that. At least one of the gods wasn't down with screwing me over, I guess, Jeb thought as he was hauled to his foot. Jeb hopped in place for a moment before Svek tossed him his peg leg.
Now, what was your message?
The giant Milas asked, slouching back in his throne. Bony Pete got arrested, Jeb said.
What?
Svek roared, leaning forward, his teeth bared like an animal. Jeb took a step back as heat began to radiate off the horned creature like an oven.
When did this happen?
He demanded. About 2 hours ago, Jeb said. Svek growled for a moment, deep in the back of his throat, as he slowly relaxed his posture.
I guess we got your first job, don't we?
He said.
Spring, Pete, and you'll be well compensated. Boys, send him back.
Jeb's heart thudded heavy in his chest as he eyed the mountain tyrant. He hadn't seen the location of their base. He hadn't figured out where they were keeping the girl. He had nothing. If he allowed himself to be carted off, he might actually wind up being a stooge for a local crime lord. It was time to risk a little murder. Hopefully, Svek wasn't impulsive enough to kill him here, on account of the mess.
I really don't want to do that, Jeb said.
Svek guffawed.
You don't have a choice, little man.
Jeb cocked a brow.
Didn't you say so yourself? Everyone's got a choice.
You sure about that?
Svek asked him, letting the question hang in the air, along with all it implied.
Here's as good a place as any.
Jeb shrugged, acting far more nonchalant than he actually was. His heart was slamming in his chest, and his shivering nerves were telling him to run with everything he had.
Okay, then.
Svek rose out of his throne, grabbed Jeb by the shoulder, and guided him out of the yurt like a disobedient toddler. There wasn't a single thing Jeb could do about it, so he didn't bother struggling, letting himself be dragged out into the open. Jeb squinted as firelight pierced his dilated pupils. The camp was pretty much like he expected, a bunch of Milos criminals sitting around a campfire drinking. The fire was set in a recessed dip in the ground, so the light didn't spread beyond the immediate vicinity of the camp. There were half a dozen hide yurts set up around the camp where the outlaws presumably slept on the job. Strangely, Jeb spotted some constructions more downhill that looked a little bit like bayou airboats. Jeb glanced at the moon and down at the slope and figured they were on a slope of the split mountains facing away from the city of Kalfath, further ensuring the camp couldn't be seen from the city. Off to the side, Jeb spotted Smartass waving violently for his attention, pointing down to the yurt she was hiding in. They were playing it safe in case one of the outlaws had enough mist to be a problem. So she was half hidden on the roof of one of the leather constructions, ducking behind the furry edge of a hide. Even if a mist user could see a fairy, they were small. Hiding came naturally to them. Jeb glanced down at the yurt she was pointing to and made a note of it, mentally signaling the butterfly cavalry to start its approach. The only reason Smartass would point to a yurt would be if their rescue target were in it. Now that Jeb knew where the girl was, he could bring the swarm of void butterflies in and tear these people apart with impunity. The only problem was it would take a minute for the black swarm to orient themselves above the camp, then swoop directly down in an inescapable mass. Butterflies could only fly at about 12 miles per hour, after all. Svek's meaty palms wrenched Jeb to the left, changing his view drastically. In a matter of seconds, he was face to face with an ugly wooden X in a clearing near the center of camp. It was made of thick wood poles with thick steel restraints designed to subdue people a lot stronger than Jeb. The restraints themselves were covered in blood and bits of gore. Flies buzzed around the base of the wood angrily as the lumbering sapients got close enough to make the greedy insects nervous. Well, that doesn't look good, Jeb thought, suddenly very invested in figuring out how quick a butterfly could cross a distance of a mile. 5 minutes. Holy shit, what can happen in 5 minutes?
Gather round,
Svek called, gathering the attention of the surrounding pirates, who were distracted from their general rowdiness by the call, standing up and peering at the short little monkey their leader had in his grip.
This gentleman has volunteered to be this evening's entertainment.
He glanced down at Jeb, malicious pleasure glittering in his eyes.
Jebediah, you've got some balls having survived the impossible tutorial. Maybe we should start with those.
Stall for time, Jeb thought desperately as rough hands grabbed his arms and legs, hoisting him up onto the sticky wood. His heart began beating so hard he could barely hear the jeering of the pirates.
Come to think of it, springing Bony Pete isn't the worst thing,
Jeb said. He didn't have to add the tremor of fear as they secured the restraint. It was already there.
Jebediah, my friend,
Zvek said, twisting a wickedly curved knife out of the wood of the axe.
I learned a lesson long ago from my dear departed father. I've lived by it my entire career, and it served me very well. Want to hear what it is?
No, but I bet I will anyway, Jeb muttered, tugging on his restraints.
Never, ever let someone say no to you twice. Everyone who ever has wound up sitting right where you are now. And guess what? Not very many people say no to me.
The towering Milas put the hook of the knife in Jeb's collar and yanked down, splitting his brand new clothes down the center.
Son of a bitch. Hold on, Jeb said, mind a whirl as the hooked blade approached his pants. How about a deal?
I think we're past that.
Seriously, I could tell you the secrets of how to form a Mishkor. How about that? In exchange?
Motion caught the corner of Jeb's eye, and he spotted one of the pirates emerging curiously from the yurt with their captive in it. The man was obviously straightening his pants, sending a lance of cold realization through Jeb's chest. They were hurting her. It felt like some huge, ugly hand in Jeb's guts flipped a titanic switch from flight to fight, bringing laser focus and numbing the fear down to nothing.
I'll take your lives.
Svek burst into an uproarious laugh that rippled through the surrounding men. Even the rapist joined in the laughter as he approached, although he was clearly not in on the joke.
Sure,
the Mila said, still chuckling a bit.
Let's hear it.
Click. Jeb felt something inside him lock into place, and he started spilling his guts, everything he knew about Mistcores and how to make them. It felt uncontrollable and reflexive, like information vomit. He gave them everything, from the techniques that fairies had taught him to gather and condense mist, to his own personal observations on the nature of cores and how they represented the user's ideal power, and his notes on the physics of mist and lensing effects, only stopping when he'd run out of things to say.
Damn,
one of the pirates said from close to the back once he was done. That's 5 minutes. Jeb thought, glancing up at the sky where the stars were blocked out by the cloud of void butterflies hovering above them, just out of sight. Jeb glanced back down, and he saw the calculation in Svek's widened eyes as he regarded him. He knew exactly what the pirate captain was thinking. How could he possibly allow that kind of information to be disseminated among his crew members? There was a good chance one of them would use it to make themselves strong enough to challenge his leadership, or outright kill him. Svek had to take control of the situation, and that boded poorly for Jeb. Jeb strangled back a scream as the knife sank into his stomach, so much more painful because there was nothing he could do about it.
He's lying,
Svek said, turning away from Jeb to address the rest of his crew.
The cripple doesn't know the first thing about mist. He's a dumbass who lost his leg in the normal tutorial, nothing more. If I see you sitting on your ass with your legs crossed and eyes closed, I'll rip out your spine.
There was one more thing Jeb had to do. It came to him instinctively. He'd acted in good faith. He had to give them an opportunity to fulfill their side of the bargain. He forced air through his throat, trying not to tense the blazing muscles in his stomach as he spoke.
My payment?
Jeb gasped.
Here's your payment,
Zvek said, turning back to Jeb and twisting the knife, forcing a howl out of Jeb's lungs. Through the tears in his eyes, Jeb spotted Smartass perch on his right arm, loosening the bonds on his arms until a simple flick would open them.
Didn't you say he was in the impossible tutorial?
One of the dumber pirates near the back asked.
Who said that?
Zvek demanded, whirling to scan the cowed mass.
Now.
Jeb gave the mental marching orders to the butterflies as he breathed in, siphoning mist out of his core and creating a slender thread of telekinetic energy. He flicked the bonds open on his wrist in a fraction of a second while Smartass leapt between his ankles, tossing the latches open.
What in the royal is that?
A pirate said, pointing straight up at the veritable wall of butterflies descending onto the camp. Jeb landed on his knees, desperately muscling down the urge to scream as the blade wobbled in his guts. he wasn't out of the woods yet. He turned away and began crawling as fast and quietly as he could, the noise masked by the increasingly alarmed cries of the outlaws.
Attack!
Svek screamed. The Pirate Lord was much faster on the uptake than his men, and he whirled back around, swinging his thick black nails through the air where Jeb's jaw had rested, taking a chunk out of the wood itself. Jeb directed the butterflies to sink down around him faster as Svek stepped around the torture restraints. Maybe if he'd gone through them, he would have arrived in time. The extra second it took to move the giant's bulk gave Jeb enough time to bring the butterflies down around himself like a protective barrier. All through the camp, the sound of stunned pirates getting chunks torn out of them grew to a fever pitch. Mostly the screaming. Jeb was hoping the pirate captain would try to dive through the wall of butterflies and put himself out of Jeb's misery, or wait until the rest of them collapsed in on the center of the formation and tore the guy to shreds. Predictably, the pirate chose the least polite option. The giant dug the front of his foot into the dirt and flung it up in front of him, sending a violent scatter of dirt and small rocks through the wall of butterflies, popping the majority of Jeb's butterflies' defenses in a fraction of a second. I hate fighting smart people, Jeb thought, scrambling backward. Svek grabbed a nearby belt lying on the ground and snapped it straight, and for some reason it stayed straight. With a couple of flicks of his wrist, the Milas had used the belt to pop the last remaining butterflies between the two of them. Shit, Jeb thought, bunching his foot under himself and shoving away, trying to put more void butterflies between the two of them. If the Milas got his hands on Jeb, it was game over. It wasn't some Hollywood movie or kid's cartoon. When someone with overwhelmingly superior strength gets their hands on you, they don't toss you. They pull you in and snap your neck. Jeb was halfway through his awkward frog leap when Svek flickered forward, meaty hands seizing Jeb's leg. Pig leg. Jeb shoved himself farther away, the pig leg detaching in the pirate's hands. The cloud of butterflies was only 4 feet off the ground now, so the Milas crawled after him, fiery murder in his eyes. It took less than a second for the pirate king to overtake Jeb, and Jeb felt the huge hands grab his real leg at the same moment Jeb's questing hands touched down on something cold and heavy. Jeb's eyes flicked up, and he spotted Smartass standing above his revolver, giving him a thumbs up. Jeb's hand seized around the grip just as Svek gave a bellow, hauling Jeb's leg nearly out of his socket. Jeb slid back toward the pirate violently, bringing his gun to bear as the pirate's hands went for his neck. For a crystalline instant, Jeb and the pirate stared each other down. Then Jeb pulled the trigger. Gun no go boom? Jeb's eyes widened as he spotted the pirate's finger lodged between the hammer and the frame, a victorious smile on the man's face. Jeb felt the man's scratchy fingers wrap around his neck, and he knew he could break Jeb's neck one-handed. 1 second left. In a last desperate bid, Jeb reached out with his meager mist, smacking the bullet's primer inside the barrel with everything he had. Boom! The fingers around Jeb's neck went slack as a pancaked piece of lead dropped off Svek's forehead onto Jeb's neck, scorching his skin as it rolled off. Svek gave him a confused, punch-drunk look, a bit of blood pooling in his eyes where the blood vessels had burst. Then black butterflies ate his face. Jeb rolled out of the way as the corpse toppled over, squirting blood out of a stump neck. The move caused the knife in his guts to tug against the ground for a moment, and Jeb would have passed out right there but for the gobs of rocket fuel coursing through his system. He carefully hauled himself to his feet and scanned the eerily silent camp. Only the occasional pop of burning wood from the fire broke the silence as the remaining butterflies settled onto every surface, awaiting instructions. Is that all of them? Jeb asked, glancing at Smartass.
I think so. I'll do a look-see,
she said, buzzing off to survey the camp. Need first aid, Jeb thought, stumbling to a nearby corpse riddled with holes. He tugged at the man's thick leather belt, something he could use to help with the bleeding. Normally, the rule of thumb is to not pull out whatever sharp object was inside you until the professionals could do it themselves. But that logic was predicated on a world where ambulances were a phone call away and doctors still existed. Jeb gathered ingredients for a good 15 minutes in the silent camp before he stumbled his way over to the yurt with the girl in it. Jeb brushed the door aside, shedding light on the situation. It made him wish he could have taken his time killing the pirates. The Grenor girl was chained to a thick iron post drilled into the ground, her body covered with dirty hides. Where the skin was exposed, Jeb spotted bruises. God damn it.
Is it over?
A tentative voice asked as Jeb took a step into the yurt. I think so. Just waiting on word from my partner. Jeb gave a self-deprecating chuckle as he approached the girl's chains. Serene Grenor, right? My name's Jebediah Trapper, and I'm here to get you out of here. Honestly, I thought I would be a lot more heroic when I rescued you, he said. But now it turns out I need your help. Jeb grabbed the big lock, keeping the girl from leaving, and peered at it, scowling. Chances were the matching key was on Svek's body. Jeb didn't have the patience to go looking for it with a knife in his guts, so he opened it the old-fashioned way. He grabbed the tumblers with mist and flipped them, springing the lock open in his hand like a magic trick.
Did you kill them?
Jeb searched her eyes for a moment. Fuck yeah, I killed them.
Good.
She buried herself deeper under the hides. I know you've had a pretty fucking rough couple of days, Jeb said, unhooking the lock from her restraints and freeing her. And I would understand if you need to sit there and process, but I would really appreciate some help with removing this, Jeb said, pointing to the handle sticking out of his stomach. The Keegan girl looked up at his face, then down at the knife handle before nodding.
Okay.
Okay, Jeb said, helping her to her feet and turning around while she got dressed. Their species all looked like Holocaust survivors, and Jeb was fairly sure none of the people who'd assaulted her even thought she was pretty. They just wanted to hurt someone. When she was dressed, Jeb led her out into the open where he sat down against the torture device. Next to him was a jug of nearly pure alcohol, a needle and thread, the cleanest cloth he could find, and a belt to cinch it all together. So, here's a plan, Jeb said before walking her through the basics of what he expected to happen when the knife was removed, and how to handle it, just in case he passed out. The process took a couple minutes, but it paid off in spades. Ready? Jeb asked. Serene nodded, holding alcohol and bandages. Jeb slowly removed the knife, biting a leather strap through the pain and trying desperately not to cut anything new on the way out. Minutes felt like hours, and when the blade left Jeb's stomach, he got the unenviable sensation of a gush of warm blood streaming down his stomach and basting his crotch in his own juices. Then she hit him with the alcohol. Jeb's eyes rolled back in his skull, and everything went black. Chapter 6. Getting Paid. People in the streets of Kalfath moved out of the way as a one-legged man limped down the street, caked in dried blood. Over his shoulder was a rope lashed to a sled chock-full of weapons and overstuffed burlap sacks that rang with a metallic chime every time they shifted. Some might have been tempted to steal from the sled, were it not for the dozen or so severed heads that rested on top of the pile of booty. Zlesk Frantel, Sheriff of Kalfath. No, you don't understand, Zlesk said, glaring at Bree. That wasn't my signature.
Looks like your signature,
the obstinate desk jockey said, the barrel of a woman scowling at him as she pointed between Jeb's fake and a zoning form for an outdoor hunter recruitment bazaar he'd signed for them a few years back.
But I didn't write it. He forged it using another signature I gave him, Zlesk said, his ire rising. I suggested that you not allow him to join the association.
You said he couldn't read. He said he couldn't read.
Obviously he paid someone to help him.
Zlesk leaned forward, unafraid of the oversized Milos in front of him.
Listen, that man is incredibly weak, stupid, and dangerously foolhardy. He was a homeless bum until yesterday. Did you know that? He's only level 6, for God's sakes.
It's not my problem if people want to get themselves killed biting off more than they can chew. Keeps the gene pool fresh.
Slesk let out a hum of anger.
Listen here. On my authority as sheriff, I want you to strike him from the record and kick him out the next time he shows up. The man is dangerously incompetent, and he's going to get other people.
The door to the flimsy little Hunters Association office slammed open, revealing the one-legged man in question. He gave Zlesk a sheepish wave. Zlesk almost sighed in relief, but disguised it with anger.
Jeb, where the hell did you go last night? I had to...
Before Zlesk could finish his cuss-out session, Jeb turned toward the door, heaving on a rope, giving a heavy grunt as he hauled a sled up the stairs and into the wooden room. Zlesk felt the words die in his throat as head after head slid in through the doorway, sitting atop a pile of what was obviously pirate weapons and treasure.
Think you can ring this up for me, Bree?
Jeb said, motioning to the heads.
I said something as small as a finger would work,
the clerk grumbled, opening the bar of the desk and motioning for Jeb to run the sled through.
Fingers wouldn't have stopped people from mugging me on the way in, Jeb said.
Fair enough.
Jeb tossed her the rope and the two of them shoved the pile of loot through the gap in the desk. A moment later, Zlesk heard old Grindy grinding up the heads to identify them.
Hey, Zlesk, what are you doing here?
Jeb asked, leaning up against the front desk, panting and wiping his brow, sweating in the disgusting way that humans did.
I was...
Neil Spitfire, 3 bulbs,
came a shout from the back. Zlesk blinked.
Jonin Cord, 5 bulbs.
Zlesk glanced between Jeb and the doorway leading to old Grindy, where Bree was tallying the bounties aloud.
Svek Patterson, 12 bulbs.
Nothing, Zlesk said with a sigh. I wasn't doing anything here.
Cool. Beer after you get off work?
Zlesk glared at the smug upstart.
Last time we went out for a beer, you used me and left me with an enormous mess to clean up.
This time, we'll be different,
Jeb said over the sound of old Grindy rendering heads into juice and Bree's deep voice calling out numbers.
Better be,
Zlesk muttered as Bree emerged from the back carrying Jeb's payment in tightly packed leather holsters that made the gold visible from the side.
62 Imperial marks,
she said, placing 2 holsters on the desk. One was completely full and one halfway full of gold coins.
Bree, would it be possible for you to hook me up with a bank account?
The homeless kill savant asked, wiggling the leather pouch.
I don't feel like getting stabbed again.
Normally no, but for your illiterate ass, I'll make an exception,
Bree said.
Stabbed again?
Zlesk asked.
Sorry, Zlesk, I'd like to stay in chat, but I got some more business to take care of, and it's pretty time-sensitive,
Jeb said, grabbing a handful of bulbs before limping back out the way he came.
Will you hold my stuff for the night?
He asked Bree on the way out the door.
24 hours and then it's mine,
Bree responded, not bothering to look up from her paperwork.
Thanks, Bree.
What do you mean, stabbed again?
Zlesk called after the limping bum. He tried to reach out to grab the man's arm and demand some explanations, but an undefinable sense of danger halted him in his tracks, allowing Jeb to slip out of the office, stomp down the wooden stairs and out into the crowd.
I think you got better people to worry about, Mother Hen,
Bree muttered as she worked.
Yeah, I got it,
Zlesk growled, taking his leave. Starting to think that guy lied on his census papers. Jebediah Trapper. 6 bulbs bought Jeb a fancy new outfit, a damn good shave, slicked back hair, and a rough, manly perfume that smelled like wood and toughness. 2 bulbs for a wicked-looking new sword that he was sure he wouldn't need, and the sheath to go along with it. He got a nice leather cowboy hat made for a couple silver, too, because why not?
Inspecting himself in the burnished mirror of the room, Jeb had to admit, he looked like a successful bounty hunter. Gotta spend money to make money, and this con wouldn't really work without the right look. God, I just hope word hasn't spread already, Jeb thought. He could still punish Mr. Grenor one way or the other, but he'd like to profit from it if he could. All right, you wait here while I talk to your dad, okay? Jeb said to Serene. The girl nodded. We're just gonna work out some payment stuff real quick, then you're good to go home.